Bless our churches, bless our ministries, bless our families. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Alrighty, so I'm going to say something quick into the camera, introduce you, and then we'll get started.
Okay.
So, hey everyone, my name is David Sneed. I'm a missionary in Lviv, Ukraine. And today we're going to be talking to my friend Brett over in Indianapolis. Hey Brett, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great.
It's good to hear.
I got my coffee.
Yeah. Nice. And your coffee says Jordan. Is that from the country?
Oh, yeah.
Or is that from our friend? Okay.
No, I got the cinnamon. Yeah.
Sweet. So Brett is a fellow minister of the gospel at my sending church, Horizon Indianapolis. And he's the youth pastor over there, if I'm not mistaken, right? Yeah.
You are not.
So sweet.
Mistaken.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and how people can contact you online if they want to and like what you do and that kind of stuff.
Sure. I'm at Brett Goodrich pretty much everywhere. B-R-E-T-T, Goodrich on literally every form of social media, except for TikTok, which is why I don't use TikTok because I was really mad I couldn't get my username. But it's TikTok.
Somebody stole your name on TikTok.
I know. I tell me, you know, like why? But I'm Brett. I'm the youth pastor out here in Indianapolis, and I've been youth pastoring for going on 6 years now. And I actually grew up here, and the Lord, I wanted to move, and the Lord was like, hey, I felt like, honestly, the call to be a missionary for a long time. And I felt like the Lord said, I want you to be a missionary to exactly where you grew up. True story. So I feel like right now my call is to follow Jesus. And the way that that's working out is that he's called me to be a missionary to, you know, screw the definition, I guess, but to Lawrence, Indianapolis, where I grew up. So
yeah, praise the Lord. I think I remember talking to you early, I don't know, several years ago about your desire for that, I think. So that's really cool that God has made that clear now. And mm-hmm. pray that he would continue with that clarity as, you know, step by step as he leads you, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So tell us about how you became the youth pastor of the church.
Well, my dad's the pastor, so people always go,
really?
So did your dad hook you up? And yeah, I know. And he totally didn't at all. He actually, when the whole decision came down, if I was going to be the youth pastor, he was not against it, but was just like, you're my kid. I don't know if I so he like took it to a board of people and made sure it was all good. But when I graduated high school, I felt like the Lord told me to go to, and that makes me sound really spiritual, but I just, you know how we all do, like we pray and we try to seek the Lord, and
yeah,
felt
yeah.
like I was supposed to go to Bible college in Indianapolis, and despite being like wanting to go and having been in Hungary and all these places, it never crossed my mind to go anywhere but Indianapolis for Bible college for 2 years, which I honestly is a miracle.
Yeah.
I don't know how when I graduated from Bible college, I felt like the Lord was like, hey, I want you to be the intern for the youth pastor. And I was like, you know, that's 200 yards away, right? Like, it's like, right, like why? And so I did that. And then when I was through that internship, the youth pastor was leaving to go to St. Kitts. And I felt like the Lord was like, hey, you're the youth pastor. And I was like, you know, that's 200 yards away, right? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And that's when I really felt like the Lord was like, yeah, I want you to be a missionary to Lawrence right now.
Yeah.
And it was a struggle, but I eventually was like, all right, Lord. And then I remember the moment that I was like, all right, Lord, that my heart kind of totally changed. And I was
praise the Lord,
kind of super content, honestly, right now.
Just to give anybody who's watching a little bit of background, I've seen how Brett's mind works and how intelligent he is. And I graduated from the Bible College in Indianapolis, and nothing against the Bible College at all, but I thought of him going to maybe a 4 or 6 year school when that Bible College is 2, you know, and I thought of Brett being, you know, I don't know, like something in IT or something like that. You know, compliment. That's a compliment to you.
You know, no, yeah, I was thinking I'd do it for my parents. I'm kind of in that.
So,
what's wrong with the Apple TV? Why doesn't it work?
Yeah.
I don't know, Dad. I don't use Apple TV.
But all I have to say is not that there's anything against. I have nothing against our Bible college there. But I was actually a little shocked when I heard that you were gonna, you know, a study there, and I was like, oh, okay.
Me too.
Cool, yeah. You know, so, but praise the Lord. Like, and so how, is there anything challenging about ministry that you didn't expect from that time? Like, it's been a journey, right?
Yeah, do you mean my current challenges or my early challenges? I think initially.
Whatever you want to share, dude. Like, yeah.
Initially, I totally felt completely unprepared, honestly. In this sense, I guess growing up, my youth pastor had been one of the most influential people in my life. And you know how it is. You kind of view people on whatever, whether you should or not, you know, they're people, but also you don't realize just how people they are. And going in to be a youth pastor, I was like, but I'm just a person. Like, I'm just, and I really, I don't know, I felt that. And that was, you know, I had the counsel around me that was like, sweet dude, it's all Jesus anyway. Perfect, do it, you know, and this is what the Lord's calling you to do. So I did, and the Lord totally did, worked it out, and it was awesome. So I think that was one of my biggest initial challenges, is getting over feeling like I wasn't able to do what I was called to do. And
kind of a Moses moment where, like, hey, you know, who made man?
Well, there's the whole idea of God call. Yeah. Like, God qualifies the called. He doesn't call the qualified.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep, that, totally. And I've had a lot of fun over the years doing it, you know. And I think, honestly, one of my biggest struggles right now it's totally different, but it's like, I hate going to bed, just freaking hate it, hate going to bed. And it messes with my whole life. It makes it super hard to love people sometimes. I get to youth group and I'm like, what do you want? Because I'm tired, because morning people rule the world.
Yes. Yes, it's true. It is so true. Yeah. So how has this epidemic, this worldwide, you know, COVID-19, thank God there's no zombies running around, you know, like, how has that changed the way that you do ministry? How has it changed the way you do life? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, if there were zombies, now would be a good time for them to come, because they'd have a hard time finding people. It'd be in Paris, like, at all the monuments, like, whatever people.
Yeah.
What hasn't it changed? I think we all know, you know, how much we're all indoors. We're fully online right now. So I do still do tons of the technical stuff. I'm the youth pastor formally, and that takes up most of my time. The other third is I do basically anything related to communication. So website, graphic design, I write copy. My kitty cat, are you okay? My kitty cat just slid into the wall. Baby girl.
They do.
Relax.
That.
You're okay. Ooh, she's going. And that other stuff. So I am actually producing all the live streams for our church. So I've been super busy. And, but we're just doing all online. We do all of our services online. We also do a Devo every single morning of the week, and they're live every morning but one. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I'm there in the morning, and we do these little Facebook Devos. And then Saturdays is pre-recorded just so we can have a day off.
I've enjoyed those.
And, I'm glad we've had a blast putting. I'm actually doing today's.
Sweet.
That'll be fun.
Sweet. Yeah.
And then we have made an effort to call everybody in the whole church. So we don't do membership really as a church, but we have a list of people who have been a part of all of our ministries, and we have those lists. So we took our leadership. We're a church of, I don't know, definitely more than several hundred. We're probably above 500. So we took our kind of leadership team and split out all of the church between it. And we're just calling them saying, sup, what you been doing? Oh, twirling our thumbs. What you been doing? You know, just kind of the same thing. And, it's been cool.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
God's blessed it.
Even those, I mean, I've noticed, like, I'll call or Skype with somebody, you know, and we're talking, and he's sharing what's hard for him, and I'm sharing what's hard for me, and neither one of us has a solution, because neither one of us can flip a switch and say, you know, quarantine's over. And then by the end of the conversation, it feels like 90% of the stuff that we've talked about was maybe negative, you know, but we're both encouraged for some reason.
Yeah, it seems like a season of small heartbreaks and no good options.
Yeah.
You know, like, we meet over Zoom and it's fun. Like, we do our whole staff meeting and there's all the little people and it's just fun. Is it awesome? it's totally unique and different. You know, and you're like, okay, somebody has a wedding. Do we let them hold their wedding at Horizon? You know, like what? And it's just small heartbreaks and no good options. But guys in control, and it's kind of fun still.
Yeah, but I still think, like, I really appreciate that you guys are able to call everybody that you guys have those lists. Because, like I said, even at the end of a conversation like that, we both still, you know, we're smiling, we're encouraged, and it's much better after than before, you know, even if we don't have all the answers. So
yeah, we still have connection, you know?
Yeah, we need that.
There's absolutely still connection. You know, like, I think for a long time, people have been talking about, like, screens as a lack of connection or a fake connection or a poisonous version of human connection. And I don't agree with that at all. And I never have. I don't think it's a replacement for real human interaction, but it is certainly supplementary and positive. Mm-hmm. And I think people will come out of this seeing that.
Mm-hmm. I hope so. And I don't know, like, not in a way of like, well, now you know how we feel, but kind of the thought that I've had recently was if it was only bad or only poisonous to have connection through screens, then think of all the missionaries around the world that's their only connection to people that they were close to in their ascending countries. Like, you know, I'm closer now to my stepmom, for instance, than I think I have ever been, because we've been Skyping more with my dad and her and everything. So
I mean, the Lord's using this time, this wild, freaky, what in the world's going on? Stuff's happening that I never would have thought of, you know, like our routines are just being shaken totally. And it's interesting.
Yeah.
So I think everybody's feeling that.
One of the things that I wanted to ask you about was like the intricacies of serving youth during quarantine. Like, our youth pastor here has started a 20-day challenge where like every day you have a different assignment. Like, you have to do so many push-ups and it has to be on camera, or you have to like do a photo and this kind of thing. And he's looking for ways to connect in a deeper way with the youth, but online, you know. Right. So how have you tackled this question as a youth pastor?
Oh man, to be totally honest, my youth pastor role has taken a bit of a backseat, unfortunately, with all this live streaming stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on this. I love that idea. One of the things that we've done besides just calling people is, believe it or not, one of the most amazing thing that's happened as far as connecting with the youth kids is that at the beginning of this, I just had an idea and I spent like a few bucks and we got a Minecraft server.
Dude. True story.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So we have between Discord to talk and a Minecraft server for the youth, there are probably 18 youth kids on this server, and you can only have 10 at once. And sometimes we hit that 10, and they're all like, there's so many kids who are on it and they're on it all the time. And so, you know, you're all just talking, you know, I don't know if you've played Minecraft, but it's mm-hmm. basically this game where you're creating stuff. And so a lot of the time you don't necessarily need to talk about the game itself with each other. You just are kind of living life and you're just kind of talking. And then you're like, somebody over here is like, oh, hey, can I have some melon seeds? You're like, yeah, dude, I'll come over real quick. And oh, let's build this thing between and connect our villages. And it is like this weird, amazing and fun social life.
That's awesome.
Where we are living together in this world and talking and hanging out, and we'll spend hours. I mean, I probably play right now for 6 hours a day because
that's how you connect with youth. Like,
and there's always somebody on, and it's been really fun.
Praise the Lord. That's awesome. That's a great idea. I don't know if youth here are into Minecraft. I think they're more like PUBG is really big here, or COD Mobile, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's more my style of game, like, you know, that kind of thing. But that's an interesting idea.
Video games are awesome for connecting with people. I mean, honestly.
Particularly that generation, for sure.
I think that one of the best things to connect with people is when you are living life next to each other, right? Mm-hmm. Not always just the intentional conversation, but how can we be next to each other and then just let conversation come up as it does? And video games offer you an ability to be talking to somebody and have a purpose that you're going towards.
Yeah, working towards a common goal.
Space. But there's space in the middle for just you to talk and hang out and conversation and to talk about nothing and to talk about important things. And sometimes you're like, man, I don't know. I've been reading and I feel like God hasn't been speaking. Guy over there.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, you know, like God doesn't speak.
Like, yeah.
This is awesome.
Yeah. There's another friend of mine. I don't know if you know the Paines?
I know of Thomas Paine, the historical.
Michael Paine, and he was a missionary.
Isn't that from WWE or something?
No, he used to be the worship leader at Calvary Budapest. And dude, you need to meet Michael Paine. He is an amazing worship leader. So much experience. He is, I think, the worship pastor now of Nick Cady's church. Do you know Nick Cady?
Nope. Sorry. Okay.
You need to meet Nick Cady. Nick Cady is a awesome exegetical preacher. He comes to Ukraine all the time, and he was a pastor in a smaller city in Hungary. Anyway, so now they're in Colorado, in Longmont. And where in the world was I going with this? Oh yeah, his son does streaming on, I think, Twitch. Warzone or something like that. So
nice.
Yeah. I think he's on like on Twitch or something like that. And so he's talking all in Hungarian on there because he's half Hungarian, but it's cool to watch. So anyway,
yeah,
I think he talks to people about God and
stuff
like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. Sometimes I'll Twitch stream and I'll have people come in. I have this dude who comes into my stream all the time from Chile.
Dude. Whoa.
Yep. Chile. Just comes in all the time. And he's like, what's up? And I'm like, hey, how you doing? And we just talk. The internet's wild, man.
Yeah.
We do live streaming with the church. We're getting like, you know, you get, it counts a view if you're on it for 3 seconds, but it also tells you if it's a view for 3 seconds. So, you know, you can get an accurate view count, but like the countries and that people are tuning in from, the internet really does make the world the size of a house, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, for sure.
It's fun.
For sure. It's a crazy revolution in the way we have to think about people and everything. And that's actually one of the things that we're working on as a movement here in Lviv, is how do we adapt our content from the church page during the church service and that kind of thing to our new audience. Does that make sense? Like,
yeah,
we're used to maybe 45 minutes to an hour of a sermon.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe doesn't work very well for a Facebook live stream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to shorten it, make it like, if you're going to get these 1 minute views. Yeah. Like, have you guys thought about that? Like, how can we serve better our new audience who are unchurched, rarely churched? I don't even want to step near a church, like, and they're seeing these things on their Facebook feed.
Yeah. To me, there's two different things. You consider what is your audience and kind of how do you meet them? And then you consider what your skill set is, or I should say this,
that's
who your audience is. Yeah. Who your audience is and what connects with them. And then what your skill set is the second one. So, oops, excuse me.
You're right.
I'm good.
Yeah. No heart attacks here. Okay, bro.
Yeah. I won't. At least you'll be there to like call 911. Hey,
yeah.
Don't know my address though. That's the problem. So the reality is, things are for different people. So for instance, when we do our live stream on Sunday morning, the whole thing is in about an hour because people's patience for things that are in on screens tends to be a bit shorter. Mm-hmm. And we can do it shorter because we don't have greeting times and other things. Our normal services are an hour 15. Online, we do an hour. And
that's not much of a difference, honestly.
Like, it's not much. It's really not. And we haven't changed the way that we do things for this medium very much, to tell the truth. Because we are aiming at a certain kind of person, the kind of person who goes to church looking to be discipled. And that kind of person is willing to sit and listen to the teaching of the Word of God. And we don't necessarily shy away from that. So our Facebook live stream teachings are intended for that kind of a person. That and I think sense. Sunday mornings are that way for us. Like for youth group, and this is maybe a personal failing of mine, I've been thinking about it, but I don't actually invite people to get saved every week at youth group. I just teach the word, and I intend it. It's more of discipleship than anything, even though evangelism is a part of it. But there are other times when that's a part of it. And like with our Facebook Devos is something different. And then for me personally, I interact a lot and I have a lot of conversations about the reasonableness of Christian faith. With atheists, I had a conversation with a dude the other day who was so excited to tell me about his foray into Satanism before he became an atheist. And that format that worked best was me just on a FaceTime call with this dude. So I think you look for what is the kind of person that I'm trying to reach and what reaches them. Is it a conversation? Is it playing video games on Twitch, you know, to reach people who watch video games on Twitch, you know? And then you look at your own skill set and say, how can I serve them? If you know, if you suck at video games, I don't know, if you're 80 years old or something, it'd be cool to watch you play video games. Like I'll get on Twitch. You know, like I'll watch Granny try to play CSGO.
Yeah. Pwn and noobs, maybe, dude.
Yeah, then if it's not your skill set, you just kind of admit it or figure it out. And so whatever the Lord has given you a passion for, and I think that your hobbies and your gifts are part of that. You can say, you know, the whole church isn't a pastor. Like, duh. In scripture, ministers are actually the church, not the pastor. You know, equip the saints for the work of ministry in Ephesians. So you have, or you know, you're your pastor, but the, you know, the listener has gifts. What does the Lord have you gifted in? Just use that, you know, see how you can connect with people and start conversations through Amen. Whatever, you know, you're awesome at juggling 18 chainsaws. I bet that'd start conversations.
Oh yeah, dude. Goodness.
Juggle chainsaws for Jesus. That's your takeaway.
Yeah. Do that on Twitch, man.
Yeah. You know, so if you're a church, you know, you do what you can. You need to disciple the people. But if you're an individual, I don't know that like the way that the church does things is always totally relevant to the way that we as individuals do things.
That's a really good point. I think we need to serve with our gifts, but we need to serve effectively with our gifts. So I think there are some things that we can adjust, but we can't change who we are. Right. I remember there was a church up in, I think, Seattle, something like that. A friend of mine was telling me this story where they were trying to turn into Hillsong, basically. And it's like a up to 100-person church, and the median age is 65.
Whoa.
And so the worship team is like 70 years old, like 8 people on the stage, and they're holding their microphones and, you know, kind of hunched over and you know, just for anybody that's watching, I'm not making fun of older folks. Okay. It was just like, they were trying to be someone who they weren't. And right. What they were trying to do is they were trying to reach a younger generation, but there are things that older folks can do well, very well, that can reach a younger generation. You don't have to try to be someone else, you know, mm-hmm. like, you know, couples ministry, like, bringing food to young mothers, like, starting a food pantry, like, other types of volunteering things. Like there's all kinds of ways that they could have reached out without changing who they were. If that makes sense.
Yeah, I respect that attempt, though. I mean, especially if you want to reach the younger generation. And if the difficult part is that if it works, it works. Mm-hmm. How do you know if it works? You know, mm-hmm. Like if you have really good singers, you can do good production. And even though you have older people on stage, you can do it in a way that works, then rock on. But if you can't do it, you have to be able to admit it, which I don't know, you know, if they were or not.
Well, that's what I'm implying without trying to insult them.
Is that it didn't work. Yeah. And that's totally fair. And, you know, as people, we always, I think, need to be willing to hear that. Maybe to ignore it if you know, the Lord leads, but to consider, is this working? It's that balance. You know, you were talking about how certain churches tend to be really traditional. And I have a lot of respect for that. But at the same time, you have the message and you have the method. The message is sacred. The method is not.
Yes.
It's not, you know, like, and we see that in scripture, like Jesus always had the same message. We repent and for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You have action, urgency, and perspective. But the method that he used changed all the time, depending on the kind of person that he was talking to. He met secretly with Nicodemus, but he publicly called out the Pharisees. And so there is nothing wrong with doing Hillsong style worship at a church or doing choruses and a cappella at another church. You know, if the style is the thing that we're saying, this is the gospel, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
But take the message. What method can I use to most effectively convey it? And just as long as you don't change the message.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. That was a part of another interview that I did earlier this week with Byron Johnson. He said that one of the things that this is doing for a lot of churches is it's forcing us to go back to what is the core truth? Yeah. What is the reason why we're doing this at all? And then
yeah.
starting with that and going forward rather than starting with where we were and trying to go backward type thing.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, we've been trying to think as a staff, what does the new, does this change society? Does this change culture? And how do we preempt that and change with it to be effective? You know, are people going to be more at home? Are people going to be wanting connection more? Are people going to be poorer, you know, and we have to work from there, you know? So.
Yeah. Coming to a close, because I don't want to make you late for getting to church, you know, but what are some quick life hacks, like quick advice, ideas, or anything that you have for either doing life better or doing ministry better or doing work better during this new reality that we live in? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. Audio is more important than video.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Honest to God, audio is more important than video. So if you are a ministry and you're trying to figure out where to put your money, put it into audio. Improve your audio first and your video second. Audio is more important than video. Mm. I'd say that's my honest to God. That's my honest to God life hack. My second one is always eat a corn dog with your coffee.
And what is that?
Coffee by itself without any kind of food, you'll get acid reflux.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Just, you know, I don't know, man. That's a good question. I have not thought about that. Shoot. I don't know. Keep in prayer. Keep doing it. It's about human connection anyway. And so if you, you know, stay in your devos, Lord help me. It's funny with as much free time as I have that I still struggle sometimes to be like, oh man, I played Minecraft for 7 hours with the youth group, but I completely forgot to finish my devos this morning. Like, stay in the word, stay in prayer, stay in fellowship, call people, FaceTime people, play video games with people.
Yeah, that's important to have that daily discipline of being in the word, obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say, honest to God, that if you can play video games with people, that you should definitely try, whether you're good at it or not, because it is a fantastic vehicle for conversation.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
You have never played a video game in your life, play Minecraft, because it legit is wonderful and it is super, super friendly to beginners.
So that's what I'm going to call this video, you know, is video games and ministry or something like that. I'll figure out.
Yeah, Minecraft for Christ.
Minecraft for Christ, yeah. So how can we pray for you, man?
Oh, that prayer just for, I think, in my personal walk with the Lord, to hear from the Lord and the word more and more. And then just for ministry and for all the stuff that we know how to be effective, and that the Lord would help me to connect with the youth, you know, and they're figuring out how to be alone, which is usually a lesson you don't super have to learn until your 20s or, you know, when you graduate college. Mm-hmm. And so just wisdom in ministering to them.
Mm-hmm. Doing some notes so that I don't forget something. Wisdom in ministry.
Yeah, I think that's really true. One of the things that I didn't realize about life is that there's a period when you have to learn to be by yourself. As you're with your family, then you're with all your friends, and then you're in college and you're with people most of the time. And then when you graduate college, most people, if you don't get married immediately, or move back in with your family, you are alone for the first time in your life, potentially. And I think that is a section of life that I never heard about. Mm-hmm. And it very much took me some serious getting used to. And I think it's just because when adults get older, they forget about that part. It kind of blends in, you know, with that. But it's, I think learning to be alone is an important skill, but it's a difficult skill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That was challenging for me. My alone life was basically in Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know?
And so,
because you lived on campus for 5 years. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's like, that's like living in the back shed of your parents' backyard, you know, like.
Yeah, there's 100% always people around. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. And even people that are willing to feed you sometimes, like, which is awesome. So, yeah. But yeah, yeah. So let's pray.
Sweet.
Jesus, thank you so much for my friend Brett and for his ministry and for his heart, for the church there, for the youth there. I pray that you would help him as he reads your word, that he would hear your voice, that he would stay close to you in that, that you would continue to call him deeper, deeper into your word, deeper into prayer, deeper into fellowship with you. I pray for his effectiveness in ministry and wisdom and how to minister to these kids. And wisdom also, Lord, with all these technical aspects of a stream every day and services online and all of that kind of stuff. Lord, just give him wisdom that's even beyond his knowledge. Give him wisdom that's beyond his experience for all of these things. And pray that you would help him, especially when he's showing these kids how to be more by themselves because they're not with their friends. You know, thank you that he has experience in this already and that he can share things that you've showed him about that. Please be with him, fill him with your spirit today, and bless us, Lord, in our churches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, dude. That was really fun.
It was really, really cool connecting with you again. We should do this again sometime.
I'm sorry, using this shotgun mic, I didn't think about the fact that it's going to pick up my computer audio more easily, so you might have to use a little expander on this or have fun editing the audio.
You're fine.
Anyway, I talk pretty loud, but...
Zoom actually has an automatic function where it like takes care of some of those things. So
it gates pretty hard, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Alrighty. Tell everybody awesome. We said hi. You are too, bro.
I love you, Dave. You're awesome.
Yeah. We love you too, man. God bless.
See ya.
See ya.